Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. By millennials, for millennials. In a nutshell, that's the focus of Zeus Network, a fast-rising player among the big wave of smart TV product-distributed content ventures. Next Thursday, one of Zeus's unscripted favorite series, The Real Black China, comes on WeTV. Zeus President Lamino Plummer joins me next. Will 2021 be the breakout year of interactive television? We'll get an answer from TV of Tomorrow show organizer Tracy Swedlow next half hour from San Francisco. Also on deck, News Note Quickies, our new classic trivia question, and our annual Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers tribute. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and Amazon Music. This just in, Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Can you believe it? 49 degrees, 4 days before we wrap up 2020 here in the Big Apple. And welcome once again to the program all about TV's current and future. First of two episodes we are doing to wrap up 2020 up. We're delighted to have you with us, wherever you are, and we'd love to have you be part of our program. 90 minutes ahead for you, some great guests along the way, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call. All you have to do is pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is not in business today. Apparently, there's a technical glitch at Blog Talk Radio Zen. We apologize for that. And hopefully, we'll have our chat room back for our final episode on Wednesday afternoon. So use that phone. That's how you reach us. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Jamil Plummer from Zeus Network joins us live from Los Angeles after some News Note quickies. Former When Calls the Heart star and Full House co-star Lori Loughlin is out of jail this afternoon. She served 2 months in a federal San Francisco prison for her role in the college admissions scandal last year. Nexstar television stations around the U.S. and WGN America are back on Dish Network. Nexstar agreed to a new multi-year agreement with Dish Christmas Eve after 23 days off the service, impacting more than 5 million customers. Bravo will launch a weekly companion series to its long-running Below Deck program New Year's Night. Title, Galley Talk, start time 7 p.m. Eastern. And Food Network, Cooking Channel, Home and Garden Television, DIY, will simulcast a Discovery Plus preview special on January 3rd. That's next Wednesday. Next Sunday night. That's next Sunday night. The special will focus on the Magnolia Table with Joanna Gaines, when a 50-new series Discovery Plus will premiere next Monday, January 4th. So once again, the preview special, simulcast on Food Network, Cooking Channel, HGTV, DIY. That's Sunday, January 3rd. And then Discovery Plus with 50 new series, including the Magnolia Table with Joanna Gaines. That's on Monday, January 4th. And that is News Notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, the president and chief executive of Zeus Network. He is also a former executive producer for unscripted programming at both BET and Oxygen. You may remember The Preachers of L.A. and spinoff series there. It's a pleasure to have with us for the first time, Lamil Plummer. Lamil, happy holiday season to you, and welcome aboard.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you as well. I appreciate you having me on board.
You're very welcome, Lamil. Before we get into the Zeus deal you made with WeTV, tell us, first of all, how long Zeus has been happening and what's going on?
Yeah, Zeus has, we've been up and running for about 3 years now. And, we originally, created the network, our subscription video on demand platform, targeting, millennials, created by millennials, for millennials. And so that was kind of what we wanted to do. And so we saw this amazing opportunity with streaming. And so we launched our own SVOD platform. And so we've been up and running, like I said, for 3 years. And we've been creating tons of original long-form series. And we've been growing and scaling the company. And it's been, it's been an amazing journey. We've learned a lot. We've become a real popular, credible brand that people are familiar with. And so we're just, continuing to put out provocative, authentic, raw and real content. And so people are subscribing and they're enjoying the programming. So I'm really excited to be, founder and CEO and a part of something that has been really groundbreaking. So Zeus is doing really well.
Well, as you turn into 2021, what are people responding to the most on your network in terms of both scripted television and unscripted?
You know, when we originally launched the platform, we produced and released a lot of short-form scripted content, and we learned very quickly that, you know, people had an appetite to want to watch more long-form unscripted content. And so I want to say after about a year or so, we ended up transitioning to produce a little bit more long-form unscripted and kind of creating a real niche there and competing with brands like VH1 and WeTV and others that, you know, not only do we collaborate with and have partnerships with We, but we saw, you know, an opportunity there, and we embraced it. And we've been, like I said, creating a lot of long form unscripted programming. So that's been working really, really well, predominantly targeting African-American females. And so we've just really, again, embraced that audience and put out a lot of content that they have been just eating up. And so they're engaged. They're, you know, our platform allows for our customers to comment. You know, they can binge watch, and you know, they are totally engaged, and our audience is really watching the shows, like the entire episodes. So it's been great, you know, commercial free, and they are available, you know, on multiple platforms and devices such as like Roku, Xbox, every iOS and Android product, and Chromecast. So I think folks really like the idea of convenience, choice, and control. And so, you know, it's been working. So we've our unscripted programming has been doing really, really well. And, you know, again, we learned very quickly that, you know, although people like scripted and unscripted programming, and you can get that other places, you know, we just wanted to kind of create a niche with unscripted programming targeting the African-American community, primarily females.
Yeah. What about the unscripted programming? Are people, as you say, eating up?
You know, people like, I think it's a different time. You know, I come from traditional television. Prior to launching Zeus, I had sold a lot of shows to various networks, some of the Viacom networks, NBCU networks, et cetera. And so, you know, we're in a different time. And back then, you know, my company, we were putting out a lot of loud, provocative content that, you know, we didn't want to necessarily spark controversy, but conversations. And so that's what we were able to do. And I just kind of carried that theme and that message over to Zeus when I launched it. And I said, you know, I think people really, really want to see content that's a little bit more raw, uncensored, commercial free, provocative, you know. And so we were able to do that. And so all of our shows give our audience a real, you know, deep dive into, you know, whether it's an unscripted, whether it's a docu-follow or a dating series. You know, we give them a deep dive into that world and that universe, and we push the envelope. And so I think people appreciate the fact that we're able to put out uncensored content, not anything too salacious or offensive or, you know, too raw, you know. But I think the authenticity aspect is something that they appreciate and value. So they're sticking around, you know, and our churn rate is very low, and our retention is really high. And so it's great to have an audience that is eating that, like you said, content up every day. And so we're happy to be able to provide that to them.
We're talking about Zeus Network. It is the subscription video on demand service. It's been running for several years. It currently is available on smart TV devices like Amazon Fire TV and Google Chromecast, also running on Android or Google TV powered television sets. We're speaking with Neil Plummer. He is the president and chief executive of Zeus. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart TV Televised. And tomorrow we're going to talk about one of those unscripted series that is getting a second run starting next week on WeTV, called The Real Black China. And that's not the only series that WeTV will run from Zeus during 2021. We'll get to that in a moment. If you have a question or comment for Neil, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Coming up on our final episode of 2020 on Wednesday, we'll feature the executive producer behind one of the critically acclaimed series of this fall, Tehran, on Apple TV Plus, and the Showtime series with Bryan Cranston starring the miniseries Your Honor. His name is Alan Aranya. You'll meet him and what he's going to be doing in 2021 Wednesday on Tomorrow Be Televised. Also, I'll have some final thoughts about 2020, how it went in the world of television, some early predictions for 2021, and we'll also present our top five episodes, the episodes of our series all year that you like the most, based on Blog Talk Radio replays. So be with us for that. That's all Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And next week, we'll kick off 2021 with three episodes for you, a 90-minute version on Monday, and then episodes on Tuesday and Friday. That's January 4th, 5th, and 8th. And we'll tell you in our next break about who's going to be on our Monday show. We got some great people coming your way. That's going to be coming up a little later this half hour. Lamia, let's talk about The Real Back China. In case some people have not seen the promos for it on WeTV and all over the place, on all sorts of different places locally, tell us about The Real Back China, because you had a direct hand in that.
Sure. Back China was something that we originally greenlit on the Zeus Network last year. And it was really just a follow doc, you know, following China, her mother and her team. And so I think fans wanted to get a real inside look into her world. And so we were able to do that in a very, very raw, real way. And it was a huge hit for Zeus, one of the number one shows on our network. And so people loved it. It was 13 one-hour episodes. And so one of the unique things that we were able to do, and we're blessed to be able to do that this year, was to license some of our content over to the WeTV network. And so they love the series, and they believe it's going to resonate really well with their audience on more of a linear platform. And so even though folks have been able to watch it on Zeus and get a feel for the show, now you'll be able to watch it on, like I said, a linear network where it comes out weekly on the WeTV network. So it's really exciting. China, you know, is a huge star, and you know, her mother is a big part of the show as well. And so you kind of see the dynamic between the two of them. At times it can be really intense. But I think that there, you know, when you watch the series, there's a real moment of heart that, you know, you see from both of them, even though it's a struggle throughout the series. You see this mother and daughter come together. And so it's really great. It's something different. It's something new. China, this is the first time you see her in this way, you know. And so it's I think folks haven't seen China since E! Had a reality show with her and Rob. And so this is focused really on China, her world, business, relationships, and all sorts of things that she has going on.
It sounds, Emil, from the promos, or looks from the promos, that she is a social media influencer, for those who don't know her, that is trying to become very entrepreneurial in different lines. What does she have to do in the world beyond being an influence on social media?
Well, you know, China is not just an influencer. I think she's an entrepreneur. She has several businesses going on. She's a mother. You know, she has two children. One by Rob Kardashian and the other by Tyga, who's a famous rapper. So you're kind of seeing her balance out being a mother, an entrepreneur, a social media influencer, and a daughter. And so she has a lot going on. And trying to juggle all the different things that is thrown at her that can be challenging, you're seeing her really make it happen. And you know, yeah, China is a great individual. She's been a great partner with us. And so I think people are going to love seeing all these different aspects of China. And she's not limited to just a social media influencer.
The series, by the way, which premieres on January 7th, that's a week from Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern time, is being paired with Growing Up Hip Hop, which is one of WeTV's most popular programs. How long was the deal with WeTV in the works for?
Right now, I think it's going to be for about a year, that's the time frame that we felt comfortable with, and so, you know, this is the first time we're licensing, you know, one of our original series, and so we it is a little bit of an experimental process for us and for them, And so I think that we're going to see how the collaboration and partnership goes, and how their audience is gravitating towards the program. So we're really excited to partner with WeTV. They're a great network. They're a huge brand. They've been around for a while, and the team over there is great. And so I'm really excited about not just, you know, Black China, also Jocelyn's Cabaret, which is a completely different program from the real Black China, but also other opportunities that we'll explore down the road.
Well, let's segue to that. Let's segue to the Cabaret Show, because that's coming on later in 2021. Tell us about that series and what kind of an impact it's had on your audience.
Yeah, just like China, it was a huge hit. Jocelyn Hernandez, you know, known as the Puerto Rican Princess, was a huge star for VH1's Love and Hip Hop, and she you know, ended up, you know, getting released from the show. And so she didn't pursue doing any additional episodes, or she hasn't been a part of the series for years. And so she just had a, an idea that was apparently a passion project of hers for many years. And so she brought it to Zeus. We heard the pitch. We saw the presentation, and I immediately greenlit the show in the room. And so I think Jocelyn is an all-star when it comes to, you know, this reality television space and world. And so, you know, her personality, all the things that she stands for, she's very funny. She's witty. She's extremely smart, and she's great television. And so we thought it'd be great to work with her, and her show is really about taking, you know, either ex strippers or girls who, have had some difficulties, in their lives, and really bring them together to put on this, you know, real classy cabaret show. And so you're seeing her try to make that happen, and it is not really easy at all, you know, when you're dealing with all these different types of personalities and women, you know, either in one house or interacting with each other in different ways. So it's a really special project, and we're excited to do not only greenlight a season two, which we've done, but to license the first season to WeTV in addition to the Real Black China. And I think it's going to resonate really, really well with the WeTV audience.
You suggested earlier that if this arrangement with WeTV works, that there'll be more with them. What would you like to do with WeTV? And also, let's keep in mind, too, that their parent company, AMC Networks, also runs a service called Urban Movie Channel, which next month is about to turn into All Black, ALLBLK. And it sounds like they'll be doing more original. They've been moving into more original, probably more unscripted, but they also want to do a scripted unscripted as well. And I'm wondering if there might be an opportunity to work with ALLBLK.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm excited about the collaboration. I think it's going to be great. Look, we're a very young company. You know, I'm 34 years old, and I'm a CEO of a network, and we're primarily Black-owned, independent. And so for me, to be in this position is a blessing, and it's an amazing, humbling feeling. And so for me to be able to allow people to tell their stories, to invest in their projects, to put these projects out and distribute them globally is amazing. So I think that, you know, we're two completely different types of networks. I think WeTV is more of a traditional linear network. You know, their content is different. You know, it may have similar audiences, but the content is different. We push the envelope a lot more. We're uncensored. There are things that we can show that they can't. They're more ad friendly. We're commercial free. We're available on every platform, and they're, you know, on cable and satellite providers. And so I think there's a significant difference between the two, you know, businesses. However, you know, I love that, you know, Bob Johnson, who is somebody that I've looked up to, and, you know, someone who created Urban Movie Channel that is now transitioning to All Black. I think it's great what they've been able to do. I think that, you know, I don't ever look at myself as necessarily a competitor or a disruptor. I'm more of an extender. You know, if I can help extend other brands and be a part of what they're doing, I'm all for that. You know, there's not enough of us around. You know, having only two Black own networks is not a lot in this landscape and world of television. You know, there's a lot of, you know, other networks that don't show us. And so I think that it's great that they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing, and, you know, there's other companies that are emerging. And so I think that's fantastic. I don't want to be the only one. It'd be great to continue to have success and to keep growing and scaling and building our company. But, you know, we recognize that this, in this world, in this space, you know, there's going to be more competition or more potential collaborations. And so, like I said, we embrace it all, and we're just focused on doing our thing and creating hit shows and, you know, paying attention to what the audience really wants to see, you know, evolving, you know, with technology. And so that's really our focus. We're younger, you know, we have younger partners. Some of my equity partners are King Batch, Daystorm, Amanda Cerny. You know, we have an amazing group of content partners from Ray J to China to Jocelyn to Chance and Princess Love and Drea and so many others. Jocelyn, I mean, there's a lot of folks. So we are excited. You know, our deals are completely different than traditional television. And so I'm happy to be able to help educate and, you know, really allow for our talent to be involved in every aspect of production, from pre to production to post and to delivery. And so they appreciate that as well. So we're just a different network, and we're excited to, like I said, to embrace, to be, you know, any network that wants to work with us and collaborate, but also be extenders and not disruptors.
The Real Black China from Zeus Network will be starting on WeTV next Thursday, January 7th at 10 p.m. Eastern, and I believe Pacific Time, too, on WeTV. We'll be following a new episode of Growing Up Hip Hop. We've got the president and chief executive of Zeus Network, Lemuel Plummer, with us. He's live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us on our next last episode of 2020. Found out about with you live from New Ever York, where it is 49 beautiful degrees. Incredible sky out there, and it looks like we had a rainy Christmas last week. Looks like we have a rainy New Year's on Thursday, and the temperature may be like last Thursday, between 55 and 60 degrees, believe it or not, when that ball drops, ushering in 2021. If you have a question of our remaining minutes with our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Next Monday, we kick off 2021 with a 90-minute episode, and we got a good one for you. Next Thursday, ABC launches a brand new primetime night of original game shows. The first primetime edition on network television of Wheel of Fortune, Celebrity Wheel, followed by the new version of The Chase, and a brand new show with Craig Ferguson back as game show host, The Hustler. Vin Rubino from the $100,000 Pyramid, the executive producer of The Chase, will be with us. We hope to have another executive producer from that block of programming on as well as our lead guest. And then Nickelodeon is getting into coverage of the NFL wild card playoffs this year for the very first time. Well, the coordinating producer of that coverage, Sean Robbins. And a couple of weeks ago, Dish Latino launched a brand new service of all concerts and concert material. It's called Tarima. You'll hear the founder and partner of that service, Freddie Arias Jr. That's all coming up on our first 90-minute edition of 2021 on Tomorrow Be Televised. Next Monday, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lemuel, a year from now, where do you want Zeus to be?
You know, I want us to be one of the leading subscription video on demand platforms. You know, Netflix and HBO and all these guys are king, and they've been doing extremely well. And I just hope that we can make our mark in this world and in this universe of you know, OTTs. And so I think we're on our way. And, you know, our subscribers are, like I said, growing significantly. We're doing very well. And I see us as one of the top leading African-American owned and African-American, you know, targeted pods in the world. So I'm excited, and I think that a year from now we'll be there.
Do you see at some point maybe a re-entry into scripted television to some degree, or semi-scripted? And also, what do you say to advertisers who look at what you're doing, look at your success, and say, boy, I'd like to reach that African-American millennial audience that you got. If I can't do it by commercials, how do I do it?
Sure, I absolutely. You know, we are the first question. I'm sorry, I missed. If you can repeat the first question, but I do remember the second one. Sorry about that.
Well, answer the second one first, and I'll go back to the first.
Yeah, sure. You know, as far as working and collaborating with advertisers, you know, we're excited, you know, to create opportunities for advertisers to work with us. You know, and there's other ways outside of you know, commercials. I think there's ways to integrate, product placement inside of the shows to, you know, just have all sorts of integration inside of the program. As long as it feels authentic and real to our audience and it doesn't feel produced, because we understand, like, we've experimented in that space before. And I think one of the challenges that we faced was that, you know, there were, you know, we had to scale back and water down the content to appease the advertiser. And sometimes, you know, with your paying customers, they don't want that type of experience. And they want it to be produced, or they want the content to feel raw and authentic. And so, you know, if you're trying to appease an advertiser versus the customers, it becomes a little challenging. But if there's a way for us to work together, and, you know, whether it's, you know, social activations or integration or events, I'll embrace that. And I think those are different, you know, verticals that we could explore as far as, you know, working with advertisers.
And the other question was, do you see at some point a re-entry into scripted TV or even semi-scripted, hybrid scripted?
Absolutely. That is something that is, you know, very important to us and at the top of our list to invest in for 2021, 2022. And so we're going to do that. I think that, you know, the pandemic has delayed that a little bit for us. And so we definitely have that on the top of our list to start, you know, creating scripted programming. And I think, again, our audiences appreciate the raw, uncensored, loud, provocative content that we put out. And I think our scripted programming will have all of those elements. And so I think it'll be different from what you see on, like you mentioned earlier, the UMCs, which will eventually be all black, and BET Plus, et cetera. So our scripted programming is just going to be a lot different, you know, but it's going to be great. We're looking at, like, programs like HBO's Euphoria and things like that really push the envelope. And so we appreciate that. And if there's ways to, you know, tell those types of stories for our audience, I'm all for that. And I think that's something that we definitely want to invest in, but 100% on the top of our list.
And we should mention the price is what, $4.99, $5.99 a month, depending on where you are?
Nope, we're actually $3.99 a month, $3.99.
All right, there
so
you go.
That was something that was important to us, too, is, you know, we want to keep the price different than other platforms and make it a little less expensive, but not too cheap. But it's been working for us. And, you know, if we need to change the price, we'll figure that out in the future. But we are only $3.99 a month and, again, available on all devices and available globally. So it's been doing really well for us.
Once again, Zeus Network is playing on Roku, on Apple TV, on Android TV, operating sets. Also on Amazon Fire TV and Google Chromecast, as just mentioned, is $3.99 a month. And if you want more details about the network and what it's up to in 2021, here's where you go online, www.thezeusnetwork.com. It's www.thezeusnetwork.com. And one of the popular scripted shows begins its run next Thursday, January 7th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on WeTV, The Real Black China, with at least another Zeus Network series, Unscripted, coming to WeTV later in 2021. And for more details about that service, WeTV.com. That's WeTV.com. Once again, the Zeus Network, www.thezeusnetwork.com. Lamille Plummer, President and Chief Executive of Zeus, thank you very much for joining us. All the best to you in 2021. And we hopefully maybe around this time next year we can have you back and see what kind of progress your network is making in this incredible world of smart TV programming services.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great, man, and I look forward to that as well, and appreciate you again.
Absolutely. Take care. All the greatest, Lamille.
Thank you. Likewise. Same to you.
Lamille Plummer, President and Chief Executive of the Zeus Network, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first some words from our regular sponsor, Audible.com. It may be late, obviously, for the holiday season, but it's still early for a New Year's present that lasts all year long. Well, how about a trial run to Audible.com, especially when you can catch a really terrific book by Malcolm Gladwell called Talking to Strangers. It's one of the most unique nonfiction books you'll ever read. And the interviews that Mr. Gladwell does, well, they're unlike any interviews you've ever read, seen, or heard. And you can hear it, well, if you have a trial run at Audible.com. It's a one-month run, and it is great. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. And remember, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, guess what? Two audiobooks for your trial of one, and they can be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original one-woman, one-man performances, best of Broadway or Broadway in the theater, and original productions. So how about making this year, before the turn of the year, this time that you can make Audible.com the way that you hear the world or someone you love. Makes a great gift any time of the year, including the transition of 2020 to 2021. Again, for all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up next, our good friend Tracy Swedlow from San Francisco, the Aurora has a TV Tomorrow show. We'll hear what she has to say about where interactive TV is going this coming year. Also, our classic trivia question of the week. We have the answer to our current question, a brand new one for you with four, count them, four prizes in play. But first, we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Using the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio/spreaker/internetradio. Together, 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Catch tonight on BTR. Hello Health is unlike any health program you can hear. Hello Health tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, the best of BTR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, Monday edition in our next last episode of this year, 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, ring it in, 646-652-2906. No chat room just joining us, unfortunately, because of a technical glitch somewhere at Blog Talk Radio's end. Hopefully they'll fix it in time for our final episode of the year this coming Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. My next guest is an all-time fave here on our program. She is the organizer of the annual TV of Tomorrow show, which went virtual for the first time earlier this year. She is also the proprietor of the popular website Interactive TV Day. And this year she launched her own web show called Televisionary. It's terrific. I've been on it. And it's a really marvelous deal. Once again, joining us live from San Francisco, our very good friend, Tracy Swedlow. Tracy, happy holiday season to you, your fans and family, and welcome back in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks so much for bringing me on your show again, and thanks so much for appearing on our event last September
and managing the community. And thank you for having me on your Televisionary show. I'm so delighted. It's working out quite well. Let's kick off with the question I posed.
One correction. I'm sorry. One correction is Televisionation.
Televisionation. Okay. Televisionation.
Yes.
There we go. Televisionation.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. And you are a Televisionary. Let's put it that way also, too.
Oh, thanks.
With what you do in the world of
you too.
Interactive TV. So let's pose the question we asked at the top of the show. Where do you think interactive TV, your specialty, is going next year?
Well, if there's any indication of some of the news items that came out this year, or several things that have been happening this year, the interest in interactivity is growing and growing. And so I'm really looking forward to 2021 to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you from my end, things were very quiet, obviously because of the coronavirus pandemic the first half of the year. But it seems in recent weeks they have really picked up. You have, for example, ventures like Seize the Show, which is an interactive performance venture that is using smart TV sets to be distributed and maybe down the road to actually use smart TV sets and devices with artificial intelligence capability for people to actually dictate how the performance goes. You also have the artificial intelligence venture on Facebook Watch, Rival Peak, which is a tremendous venture, very unusual, where the characters, this unscripted set of satire, are artificial intelligence made. But what I really think may be a real groundbreaker is the people that we had on last week from Wirewax, which has put these interactive services together in the last week and a half or so on Google Chromecast and on Google TV, Android TV sets. You had a chance to interview them for your television show. What do you think of Wirewax? And do you think, as I do, that they may be a groundbreaker?
Well, I absolutely think they've been a groundbreaker for a long time, and I do have a long-format interview coming out, in about a week or two, maybe around then. So be sure to check out tvotshow.com/televisionation for that and many other interviews showcasing innovators. They have many partners that they're working with, Twitter, Facebook, the whole gamut, right? But partnering with Google is a game changer. And if they're actually going to be able to deliver an interactive service to a connected TV versus an OTT device like a Chromecast, right, or on Google, TV platforms, I mean, that is definitely groundbreaking. And they're capable of producing very slick metadata interactivity, accessing information about the show, shoppable TV, we've been watching TV commerce, the concept of TV commerce for, decade or two? I'm losing track. But, nobody really has been able to launch this to such a wide audience. I think that even though they've announced it publicly, they haven't really discussed it in any great depth on their website. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
Well, when we had them on the show last week, one of their vice presidents, the sense I got was that people, without the fact that WireWax announced this service, and I was really amazed and shocked that the tech press, the general press, the business news channels, nobody covered this situation. But even without that, there seems to be some word of mouth going on that, yes, these Chromecast subs are using these apps, and so far so good.
I think, first of all, you and I are passionate diehards for the topic of interactive TV, number one. Number two, I think that people are very circumspect about any announcements to do with interactive TV because, and rightly, there's been a lot of ups and downs, right, of people promising but not being able to deliver. So I think people are going to just kind of wait and see, what it looks like. I mean, they covered Netflix a lot when they introduced Bandersnatch, and then that disappeared. And then Netflix introduced, various other small shows, but they didn't really market them too much, right? They kept them on the lowdown. So I think people are waiting for these things to kind of grab people's imagination or attention, see if there's any advertising behind it, before they kind of jump on that bandwagon. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. But I was surprised still that given the fact that this is on Google Chromecast, which reaches millions of people in one shot, and it's on Android TV powered sets, which reaches millions of people in one shot, that I just thought that was not well publicized. And I'm blaming more the press for not at least taking these folks seriously. But I do think, despite that, WireWax seems to have a lot going for it, including the fact that they're also putting together at the same time that they're running these apps. They're putting together this interactive video community that, from what I was able to gather from the vice president I talked to last week, that they've got a lot of exciting plans that they want to make. They want to create this community that really wants to push the envelope of interactive TV further in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, I'll listen to your show. You can listen to mine. Let's see. We'll compare and contrast. But I definitely think these guys have some legs, so I'm excited to see what happens to them.
Absolutely. Another area which I think there was some progress in the interactive field, I want to get your thought, is gaming. We now have several gaming services that now can be used by a television set without the use of a console. You have Google Stadia. You have Apple Arcade. We hear that Microsoft any day is going to announce Xbox going on smart TV sets for the first time. What's your sense about the gaming side of interactivity? And where that might go next year?
Well, I mean, we've seen interactive TV gaming on connected TVs for a long time. They're kind of buried, really. I mean, you could certainly, turn on Amazon Prime, and there are countless games to choose from. I know that Twitch is really taking up this mantle. I still think it's a niche area, for people who just really seek out games. I don't necessarily see this becoming like mainstream television content for people who are just sort of not interested in games per se. But I know we want to talk about this, but I want to go back quickly, just momentarily back to the topic of interactive TV, and then let's jump back into gaming to confuse everybody. I want to point out that we didn't talk about the Comcast X1 Infinity launch of Watch With interactivity with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, right? The live streaming show with the pre-show of those women. I'm just pointing that out. We can bring that back later if you want to. Go back into gaming.
All right. Well, let's talk about that because, I think this is an area like Xfinity and Flex in particular, where with those services, you can do all sorts of things like gaming. You can do this watch with. I want to get your thoughts about that. But also, you can do smart home stuff. You can control your lights. You can control other aspects of your home or apartment, home security cameras, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I think that they made some progress this year on that.
Well, you know, Zay Vella, who's in charge of their connected TV strategy, has a relationship, you know, with a live streaming company that's been able to build in interactivity. And, you know, they've basically put the eye through the needle, right, at Comcast to be able to deliver interactive TV that isn't necessarily just driving on-demand content or an EPG or, you know, something that just delivers the basic TV experience. This is actual real content or interactive TV with real content. It isn't necessarily changing graphics on the screen. What it is watching a pre-show, which I think this has already happened, right? Watching a pre-show of the ladies of Salt Lake City and then tweeting using a hashtag to deliver questions or comments and then seeing your tweets appear on the screen. Now, using Twitter alongside television is not exactly new, but delivering this inside the X1 experience, you know, with Flex, you know, delivering people with the ability to also participate in polls, you know, on such a massive scale, that's definitely very exciting. So I hope Zane and everybody over there at Xfinity, or X1 rather, you know, is able to get some good tracking for this and that we can see more going forward. Because if Zane is behind it, you know he's going to be pushing for something, you know, really groundbreaking.
We're speaking with our very good friend Tracy Swedlow. She is the organizer of the annual TV Up Tomorrow show. Usually it's held twice a year, one in Silicon Valley, one this month in New York. Turned out to be virtual for the first time in September, and I was very proud to be part of that in a very, very unique way for the first time. And also, she now has a very popular web show called Television Nation, which you can find, I believe, all over the place, including her website, itvt.com. That's Interactive TV Today, which she's done 4 years. Tracy joins us live from San Francisco this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Tracy, make that call, 646-652-2906. And coming up next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our first Friday edition of 2021, we will have one of the vice presidents of Vizio, one of the top smart TV makers. Her name is Catherine Pond. We'll talk with her about SmartCast, which is a very interesting smart TV programming service. We'll also talk about what she expects out of interactive TV in 2021 and her thoughts about CES, which starts 2 weeks from today. Catherine Pond, Vice President of Vizio, joining us live a week from Friday, 3:50 Eastern Pacific, one of our three episodes coming your way next week to kick off 2021 right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tracy, another aspect of interactive TV that I thought came to the fore was fitness in several ways. You now have Apple Fitness Plus, which works on smart TV sets, and is now being bundled with Apple TV Plus, with Apple Music, with Apple Arcade, with Apple News, all as smart TV programming services, at least on the Apple TV device. But you also have Peloton, which I understand also has a smart TV version of their service, which they have woefully, I think, underplayed. What's your thoughts about fitness on television in an interactive way?
They've been trying this for like 15-plus years. You know, they tried it in the UK when they had red button services and things like this. I think it's fine. I think people, if they could coordinate what's on their iPhone, I mean, on their Apple Watch or something, and interact with their Apple Watch and then have something show up on the TV, then fine. I think it's, I don't know. I'm not sure I think that it's going to be a successful strategy unless you can do that with your secondary device.
Mm-hmm. One of the other stories or non-stories about interactive TV this year was video chat, telemedicine, teleeducation, and the fact that despite this coronavirus pandemic and more people watching smart TV programming than ever before, whether it was on a smart TV device like Chromecast or Apple TV Plus or Roku or on a smart TV set from the likes of Samsung, Vizio, and so forth, that we didn't see a lot of video chat services go up. We hear that Zoom is looking at it and maybe launching it next year on the TV set. We did have at least one telemedicine on the TV situation, MedSign, which has their own device that you plug in. And we didn't see a lot in teleeducation. And I'm curious to ask you why. Why didn't we see the smart TV community really take advantage of this and make these smart TV attractions?
It's a really good question. I've been asking them myself when I can. I know that the, delivering a live chat experience is probably bandwidth intensive, and it probably requires some kind of software layer that they haven't deployed yet. I don't know. This is a very good question. I would say that the ATSD 3.0 community is absolutely working on it behind the scenes to deliver some kind of interactive education experience. I ask them about this issue all the time, every time I interview any of those people. And, of course, ATSD 3.0, or also called NextGen TV, is the huge initiative to deliver broadcast television, into local markets and have it be interactive, and to then have a back path of the internet, right? And eventually, of course, 5G. So speaking of interactive TV, that is going to be a whole new market and layer of experiences and monetization opportunities where interactive TV will play a huge role. So I just wanted to put that out there. But as far as education, I think if these people aren't discussing interactive education and interactive TV, they're behind the scenes. I mean, it's they're going to be behind the eight ball, because I don't think any of us really know how long this pandemic is going to last. And all of these kids out there are not able to access Wi-Fi or have computers or anything. I mean, I am very surprised and shocked that somebody wasn't quick to delivering something. Because this just seems like it's really needed. It would be humane. It would be the moral thing to do, and it could be monetized. You could make deals with Google Classroom. You could make the deals with the school systems. You could absolutely monetize this quickly. It just seems like a shanda, which, of course, is a Yiddish word for a shame, that it hasn't been put in place. So out there, people, get off your dust and start developing interactive TV education now, please.
Say more, Tracy, about next-gen television, because we now have 20 cities that most of the TV stations in those markets, from Denver to Boise, Idaho, to Las Vegas, now have next-gen television. Where is interactive TV in any flavor on their priority scale?
The first thing they're trying to do is just to get the signal deployed, to get the stations to, unify or to put some content out. I mean, the big problem right now is that, most people don't have a next-gen ready TV, and that's going to be that's high priority, for the manufacturers, for the CE companies, right? And I know, Vizio and Sony and, LG, these guys are very deeply involved in the ATSC 3.0/next-gen TV community. So I would absolutely expect those TVs to come out and there to be major announcements at CES, and I know you're participating in that event over there. So I really expect that to take off in a big way come early January when that event takes place. There are approximately, 20 plus, almost 20 cities that have been deployed, and there are 72 cities that are going to be launched in 2021. They are going to deliver the basic things, like an EPG and, being able to find your content. But the fact that they're going to be so much more flexible, that they have their own data broadcasting network, they have a huge, community of professionals who are really passionate about delivering an interactive service that can be monetized. So I would watch this space very closely, as we do over at TVOT/Television Nation all the time.
It's going to be, Tracy, one of the big stories of next year.
Then what's also interesting is that they are also able to deliver radio into your TV. And they just announced just recently, a few days ago, that they're able to deliver radio into their Seattle deployment. And, and so there's going to be all kinds of ways to deliver advertising. Addressable advertising, right, is probably extremely high on their list. And that's really what this is all about. It's developing in a whole new market for delivering video content. And it's also, on top of that, I shouldn't forget, that NextGen TV can be delivered to your phone if you have a next-gen TV chip, included in it. So they're working with the, the obvious, telecom companies to make sure that happens too. So we're talking broadcasters having more power to control the delivery of their content, the distribution of their content and what happens to it. So you're talking direct to consumer, to a whole new swath of markets where the broadcaster will be able to monetize it directly, and basically bypassing the cable guys,
Yeah. We have a few more minutes with Tracy Swedlow. She's the organizer of the annual TV of Tomorrow show. She is also the host of a wonderful web series. If you haven't seen it, do so, called Television Nation. I've been on it. And by the way, the Wirewax people are going to be on an upcoming episode, so watch out for it. And Tracy's with us a few more minutes this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, our second to last episode of the year. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New Weber, York. If you have a question or comment remaining this with Tracy, make the call, 646-652-2906. And coming up on next Tuesday, we'll have our second episode of 2021 with Brian Volk-Weiss. We scheduled from last week. He is the chief executive of the Cell Company, a very popular place for unscripted programming. His latest series, now in its second season on Amazon, A Toy Story Near You. He'll be with us in our second half hour. That's next Tuesday, special edition, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, our second episode of 2021 right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. So, Tracy, CES is 2 weeks from today. That will be, I think, the first time that if you're going to make an announcement on interactive TV, that's when you do it. First time virtual. What do you expect out of it in terms of announcements involving ITV?
Well, I don't know if it'll be necessarily interactive TV stuff. Like I said, I think it's going to be really devoted to next-gen TV, development. I'm not saying it won't happen, but to be honest, I hope that people will – I'm going to promote ourselves, but we're going to be announcing – two events of our own. One will be late January, and that'll be a free event over 2 days. It'll be live streamed, and that's going to be sponsored by First Light Media. And we have our big 5-day event late April, and that's where you get real announcements about real interactive TV. That's where you're going to have all kinds of stuff about the latest AVOD news, addressable TV, measurement, original content, subscription-based services. All these executives. So we get the cream of the crop of the interactive TV community to speak at our conferences. But at CES, they focus mostly on IoT and cars and big TVs. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think, well, maybe Wirewax will have more to say then? I think it gets the TV gets a little lost at CES.
How do they handle it? Yeah, Tracy, I think that first day, which is the media day, where a lot of the TV set makers are going to make announcements, I think it's going to be very critical to see what they say about smart TV sets as opposed to picture quality situation. I do agree with you that CES and the Consumer Technology Association, which organizes it, really downplayed smart TV. There's no smart TV panel. There's no interactive TV panel. I think it's a huge mistake on their part. I'm wondering how they're going to publicize next-gen television. I don't understand why they don't get behind encouraging the public to use smart TV and smart TV devices, whether it's to watch programming, whether it's to do interactivity, whether it's to control other aspects of their home or apartment on the set. I think they're missing a big opportunity by not doing it. Why they don't do it, I don't know. They were among the leaders in terms of showcasing high-def television, showcasing O3HD. They launched the next-gen TV moniker. I hope they really change their tune. I really think they're making a big mistake by not having a smart TV panel, not covering it, not focusing on interactive TV, and so on. And we'll see what happens 2 weeks from today when the TV set makers have their thoughts. Two other areas I want to get into before we leave you. Number one, we talked about this when you were here on the program earlier this year, and that's the whole situation with Echo, the Samsung Walmart-invested interactive platform that's still only on laptops, PCs, smartphones. You said that one of the big issues was Qbuy. Now that Qbuy is gone, hopefully this lawsuit is gone, when do you think Samsung and Walmart will pull the trigger and finally make Echo an interactive TV project?
I don't have an answer for that one. I mean, I think they're still mired, and I could be wrong, in the lawsuit that they had with, I believe the pronunciation is Quibi. So I can't tell you that. It's been a slog for them to have to deal with all of this. The fact that Quibi has failed, though, probably is helpful for them to get out from underneath all of that, but I don't have an answer. But I want to I want to go back to something that you were just saying, which is how at CES, you know, they're not paying enough attention to smart TV and interactive TV. And then you also were talking a lot about telemedicine and exercise, and I think that's all very insightful. I think CES or anywhere, or our show, it would be a fantastic place, if there are any companies out there, to discuss if you have ideas or actual sort of software things in place to deliver an interactive layer to a smart TV that allows people to do exercise, to put up their statistics, talk, like you said, talk to doctors. There's a missing layer where you can keep your personal information, keep it private, but be able to interact with content or people chatting on the screen. That's a huge layer of functionality that's missing from the smart TV experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget, you know, when my child was a lot younger, and, you know, the first thing she did when she was conscious about being able to walk around and touch things, she went up to the TV and she touched the screen. And I think that's just people's natural inclination. And they are not taking advantage of the fact that people want to do that to those big screens. And I just don't understand, you know, why they're not delivering that software layer. But we'll see what happens with this WireWax story, right? That could be the thing that moves things forward.
Yeah, and keep your eye on MedSign, which we focused on early this year, back in around July, August. You can catch that episode, by the way, at our webpage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, check out Facebook Watch, Portal TV. I think they're hanging in, and I think that that's going to hopefully expand some features as 2021 goes on. The other thing I wanted to get into
but
is... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I don't know how... I mean, the Rival Peak project... the AI Rival P project on Facebook, you know, Facebook does not do a very good job of promoting the existence of these innovative projects. They had, you know, was it Network Kitchen, Food Network Kitchen, all of these kinds of things,
yep,
which are fantastic, but their marketing department just does not do a good job of letting people know it exists. I mean, if they do, it's subtle and people kind of find it. What do you think?
You raise a very important point. One of the issues that has held interactive TV back has been lack of promotion, lack of publicity. In the case of Food Network Kitchen, which is a fantastic service, it's Amazon that doesn't talk enough about what it can do with Amazon Fire TV in terms of some of the features, like, for example, the ability to tell a joke, to call up recipes, to order ingredients, food products with Food Network Kitchen. And there may be a second service once Discovery Plus goes on the air January 4th. There may be a similar service that's a home and garden type, like Food Network Kitchen. And I agree. I think that, and I think the smart TV set makers don't promote their smart TV apps very well. Same thing with Apple TV Plus and Apple TV. The publicity muscle and the marketing muscle doesn't show up. And when you do these post CES roundups, smart TV gets the bottom of the barrel or the bottom of the totem pole.
I think people barely know that Amazon has their X-ray service available, or they treat it like it's, you know, like a buried extra. I mean, these smart TV operators could absolutely take advantage, these application platforms, take advantage of delivering metadata across every single show, like X-ray does, right? Showing you who are the actors, who are, what's the summary, blah, blah, blah. But they don't figure out new ways to innovate or to monetize this. And it's interesting because I was reading an Adweek article about what TV creators think that has happened this year. And, you know, a lot of them think they're very creative and very innovative, but I am not seeing anybody taking the obvious opportunity to just deliver an interactive metadata experience across their show, and make it membership-oriented, ask people to subscribe, to be super fans on a smart TV platform. You know, why is Amazon not providing that? Why does Amazon not allow you to shop, to buy things related to a particular show? It seems like an obvious to me.
Yeah, absolutely, Tracy, especially when now you have artificial intelligence voice features built into these sets and these products. whether it is Alexa or Siri or Google Assistant. It allows you to control the set with your voice as well as your remote control. And yes, I think that we don't play this enough. The business news channels like CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox News do not talk about smart TV sets at all or smart TV products, with the exception of maybe Roku. And most of the time, that's because of programming that they carry. And the same thing with the tech press, whether it is CNET or News.com, whatever, or News.com or TechCrunch, whatever. They don't cover the interactive field, except once in a blue moon. Hopefully that changes in this coming year. The other thing I wanted to ask before we go is, we talk about Netflix. And yes, Netflix did not have a bounce-back year in terms of interactivity coming off 2019 with Bandersnatch and so forth. They only have the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. We should point out that they do have an interactive animated series in the works, an interactive movie in the works, animated, and they also have Headspace, which they're going to do an interactive program with them, some sort of project to be determined. But what I would like to know is, do you think by this time next year, one of the mega content services, whether it is Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, CBS All Access becoming Paramount Plus, Peacock, HBO Max, Peacock, which, by the way, is selling interactive advertising, Hulu, is somebody of that mega content field, are they going to finally do an interactive TV program? Because I think that would be a huge, monumental step forward. And so far, I don't get it. When we had the Disney Plus event, or the Discovery a couple weeks ago, which was monumental, it was amazing to me that for all the exciting shows that they launched, that they announced, not one interactive program.
The only network that you mentioned or platform that you mentioned that is that has the mindset, that has the chutzpah, has the track record of being an innovator is NBC. And Apple has promised and promised and never delivered. And CBS and all of these other companies tend to be very conservative. So I would just watch for NBC to do something. Obviously, Netflix is experimenting. I'm interested in various small subscription services that I think that have launched. Maybe they'll do something very interesting with their metadata, because I know a lot of these small subscription services that I'm talking to on a regular basis are saying that we're looking for ways to really stand out, to be innovative. You know, they need to figure out something. So I would say look at the small companies potentially to take that first step forward, and then NBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at the wire waxes. Look at the med signs. Look at She's the Show. Look at Rival Peak, GenVid Technologies, the company that made that happen. Like you said, these are the independent players that are pushing the envelope big time. And it gives you the optimism that perhaps 2021 could very well be a breakout year for interactivity. One thing was certain, I think the public's ready for it. There's no question, I think.
Obviously people also want community, right? Co-viewing has been a huge trend this year because of the pandemic. People want to be together. So that is actually a form of interactivity that we didn't discuss and that has seen a rise in interest. So, and all of the networks have embraced it pretty much, right? All of the platform operators. We'll see if they develop that technology more and more to develop their communities. I mean, eventually, I hope these communities will be able to self-manage themselves, introduce ways to, sell things to each other or to trade, to build services that relate to their specific interests. So I would say watch any kind of announcement to do with co-viewing.
All right, got that. And also keep your eyes peeled on technologies like 5G, artificial intelligence, video, like Rival Peak, augmented reality, mixed reality, because they could all play a role in how this interactive universe unfolds in 2021 and beyond. And remember, if you'd like to catch Tracy's work in action, here's where you go, itvt.com. That's itv.com. That's where you'll find interactive TV, her regular newsletter. That's also where you'll find information about the TV of Tomorrow show. Like you heard in this program, two events planned, one later in January, February, and the other later in the spring, big TV of Tomorrow event. And don't forget her wonderful program, Television Nation. That's also where you can find itvt.com. If you haven't checked it out, please do. It's a wonderful series. And check out the Wirewax episode coming up, among others, in the very near future. Tracy, it's always a pleasure having you on. the very best to you, your husband Richard, your family, and all your friends at ITBT for a great, great new year. And let's hope and let's be optimistic that Interactive TV, big, big future starting next year.
We should start our own company, Simon. I just want to tell everybody out there that Simon is a wonderful person, passionate and determined to understand this space. And, of course, if you're listening, you already knew that. But we love him in the community, in the TVOT community, and welcome your involvement again in the next big event we have in late April.
You got it, Tracy. That's a date. That's a date and a commitment. And from one wonderful person to you, wonderful person, all the regrets for a wonderful new year. You deserve it.
Happy New Year.
You got it, Tracy. Take care. We'll hear you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tracy Swedlow from Interactive TV Today, TV of Tomorrow Show, and Television Nation joining us live from San Francisco. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and then our annual feature, TWBT Remembers, all coming up after the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, your home for the best internet radio on the planet, more than 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget that TuneIn Radio, that's right, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel. Keep what's happening with the coronavirus pandemic all over the world 24-7 with on-the-ground reports, podcast, special material, all 24-7 your way. The Coronavirus News Channel, right here on TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tuamabe Televised. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Sam Rappel with you live from New Weather, York. We will get to our Tuamabe Televised Remembers segment next. But first, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We thought we were going to have a winner this weekend, and unfortunately we don't. Let's explain why. But first, let's give you the answer to the question we've been posing for the last 2 weeks, which is, who played the first pair of assistant district attorneys on Law and Order back in 1990? The answer, I think a lot of people knew one of the two, Michael Moriarty, the wonderful actor. The other, that I think a lot of people may not have known, was Richard Brooks, and they were on together for the first three seasons of the show. So the answer to that question, Michael Moriarty and Richard Brooks were the first pair of assistant district attorneys they played on Law & Order back in 1990 for the first three seasons of that Dick Wolf classic series. Over the Christmas weekend, we had somebody answer that question, emailed us with the answer, and we were ready to give them the prizes and announce them on today's episode. And then we got an email back from this person saying, well, I don't want the prizes. What do you do? Well, I said, well, I emailed back. Why not donate them to anyone you like? We'll still announce you as the winner and be fine. And then I got this email back from this person saying, awesome. Why not donate it on your end to a charity of your choice? Well, I thought about it. First of all, we don't have the resources to do that. And secondly, I thought, well, what about giving the prizes to this winner and that person donate to the charity of his or her choice, and we'll announce the charity on the air as well as the winner. And we posed that in an email as an offer, as a request to our winning contestant. And unfortunately, we never heard back after that. So, sorry to say, no winner this time around. If this person, by the way, wants to try again, we'd love to have that person. And we're sorry. We really are sorry that we couldn't make it work out. So now let's give you our latest classic trivia question. And we're going to have, I think it may be a record, four prizes in play. We have the Crazy Stupid Love DVD. We have the Telaria Clutch Plus Money Card Clip. We have the book off the back of a truck, The Sopranos book by recent guest Nick Brascia. And now we'll add The Genius Box, How the Idiot Box Got Smart, and It's Changing the Television Business by David Tice of Hub Entertainment Research. He was on our show about more than a month ago, excuse me, and we'll offer this book as well. So four prizes in play if you know the answer to this question. Remember The Rookies, very popular series on ABC in the 1990s about rookie police officers on the job as well as in training simultaneously. Well, there were four actors who played the rookies when it was on for 4 years, from 1972 to 1976, name three of them. Name three of the four actors who played the rookies. Name three of the four actors who played the rookies. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com, include your name and where you're from. And if you first click answer, you win. And if we don't get an answer by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. One more time, here's the question. Name three of the four actors who played the rookies on ABC. email me with that answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll win all four prizes. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. Whenever you watch an award show, be it about movies with the Academy Awards, television, the Emmys, music, the Grammys, Broadway and theater, the Tony Awards, no matter who the host is, the presenters are, who wins, there's always one feature you can expect, In Memoriam, the annual tribute to people in that field who pass away over the course of the year. And usually, there's always a controversy over who didn't get in, why they didn't get in, into the massive scheme of things with In Memoriam. Well, there's one In Memoriam project, you never hear that, because it's so comprehensive, so beautifully done, so wonderfully presented every year that it's never an argument. It's never an issue. And that is TCM Remembers on Turner Classic Movies. It's on currently right now. It's been on for like the last week and a half. And every year they do a marvelous job and very comprehensive job of showcasing the people in front of behind the camera who passed away the previous 12 months. And it's always flexible so that if somebody passed away, like Peter O'Toole did a couple of years ago, while the mini feature runs, it can be included. That's how comprehensive they are. And it's the people who do it, we never hear who they do it, whoever does it, but the people who do it every year do a fantastic job. So a number of years ago, we decided, let's do one of our own. So here we go with the 2020 edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised Remembers. And we're doing it as conference as we can. We're going to try to get through this. There were so many people this year on both on and off camera who passed away. So let's get right to it. And by the way, if you'd like to call in, if there's somebody that we think we missed that you think deserves it, please let us know, and we'll take your call if we can. All right, so let's start with off-camera. Gene Reynolds, boy star in the 1950s, became a wonderful producer, writer-director, three of his big hits as producer-director, MASH, Room 222, and Lou Grant, all within a space of between the late 1960s, early 1980s. Terry Jones, one of the founders of Monty Python's Flying Circus, superb writer, producer, of that terrific series, as well as performers. Buck Henry, the co-creator with Mel Brooks of Get Smart. On the music side, some wonderful composers passed away. Ennio Morricone did some great miniseries and TV themes. Johnny Mandel, of course, the theme from MASH, another terrific composer of film and television. Billy Goldenberg, whose work included the themes from Kojak and Harry O in the 1970s. And Dane Twatro, who did a lot of good work for Quentin Martin television dramas. Carl Reiner, one of the great early performers of television with Sid Caesar and that great gang of your show of shows in Caesar's Hour. Then, of course, the writer, producer, creator of The Dick Van Dyke Show and The New Dick Van Dyke Show. You may not know Doug Crane, but he was one of the great animators in the early days of cartoons with Hanna-Barbera, Terry Toons, MTV, and Filmation. John Le Carré, the great spy novelist whose work became very popular television miniseries like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, one of his latest was The Night Manager, which Suzanne Beer became a star in directing, one of the first women to direct a spy thriller, by the way, and we won an Emmy Award for her work. Ken Spears, the co-creator of Scooby-Doo with his partner Joe Ruby, also did Ruby Spears cartoons for years. William Blinn, the writer of Brian's Song, and also one of the writers on Roots. Lynn Shelton was the director on Little Fires Everywhere, was really one of the up-and-coming episodic TV directors and miniseries directors. She died way too simply at the age of 45. James Gunn, he wrote The Immortal that became, from a science fiction tale, it became a great ABC movie of the week and then a short-lived TV series starring Christopher George. The wonderful Larry Barron, he was, believe it or not, a great producer of unscripted television and also an executive at different places. GSN, he created Idiot Test and Emogenius. He also was one of the producers on The Amazing Race and also MTV's popular series Coupled. Sylvia Horta, the co-creator of the English language version of with America Ferrera of Ugly Betty, which had a great run on ABC. Lano Kim, terrific episodic TV writer, also did great work for the religious drama anthology series Insight. Fred Silverman, what can you say? One of the great programming executive geniuses, worked for all three networks in a great career at ABC, CBS, NBC, and did great work at all three networks. One of the people, by the way, who approved All in the Family and the Norman Lear comedies when at CBS in the 1970s. Lee Philip Bell, if you're a soap opera daytime drama fan, one of the key people behind The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful, still up and running and still doing great on CBS. Earl Pomeranz, terrific sitcom writer. Thomas Miller of Miller Boyette, Miller Milken, who did The Odd Couple. Let's see what else. Oh, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, had a great run with Paramount Television Comedies of the 1970s. Sal Turtletop, the co-creator with partner Bernie Ornstein of What's Happening, which had a great run on ABC and in syndication as What's Happening Now. The terrific animator Gene Dietich did everything from Popeye cartoons to Tom and Jerry cartoons for television, and also Crazy Craft for TV as well. And Tom Terrific, the one of the first TV-made cartoons on Captain Kangaroo. Joe Rogerson, anytime this producer had his hand on a TV series made for Universal Television with episodes of The Bold Ones and much, much more, he always, and The Virginian, always did a great, great job there. Gil Schwartz, wonderful communications executive for many years at CBS. Bill Small, one of the great pioneers of network television news at CBS and NBC. Ed Bain, ABC executive, had a great run with Leonard Goldenson and the crew there in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Sandy DeVore, the pilot behind Young and the Restless, The Waltons, and many other great TV shows. Lance Heflin, the key executive producer of America's Most Wanted with John Walsh on Fox. Herbert Solow, the Disney executive who helped greenlight Mission Impossible and Star Trek with Lucille Ball. Terrific choreographer and director Tony Schiavone did many dance sequences for top variety shows in the 50s and 60s, later did sitcoms as well. Of course, Sumner Redstone, the former owner of CBS and Viacom. And Walter C. Miller, the terrific producer, director, many years did the Academy of Country Music Award shows, also did Your Good Man Charlie Brown, its TV adaptation on NBC. He was one of the best variety show directors around and one of the standouts in terms of bringing great variety show acts on television. And that is all off-camera this year. What an amazing lifetime. Now, how about on-camera? Let's go fast. Kirk Douglas, because of his made-for-TV movies, also one of the first Hollywood stars to do talk variety and variety programs. The terrific character actor Shirley Knight, a lot of ex-op television work. Jerry Stiller of Stiller & Mara, with his late wife and partner in life, had many a great Sunday night making us laugh on The Ed Sullivan Show, and then, of course, in recent years, on sitcoms, particularly The King of Queens. Honor Blackman, Diana Rigg, one of the two of the partners on The Avengers of star Patrick McNee, and boy, they were memorable. Stuart Whitman, the host, the star of Cinnamon Strip, Nightmare on Western CBS, also terrific in episodic TV programming. John Erickson, co-star of Honey West in the 1960s with Anne Francis. The terrific comedian and comic actor Fred Willard. Everything from game shows to Fernwood Tonight. Marge Champion, the wonderful dancer and partner of the great dancer and choreographer Gower Champion on film, did a television series in the summer of 1957, also with the choreographer on the terrific movie Queen of the Stardust Ballroom. And also, I might add, a terrific advocate of dancing classrooms here in New York in her last years. Renee Santoni, wonderful character actor, co-star in the 70s on Owen Marshall Counsel at Law. Alex Trebek and Tom Kennedy, two of the best game shows around. Of course, Alex, the magnificent way he stood up to pancreatic cancer over the last year, and a great run on Jeopardy, High Rollers, one of the best game show hosts ever. John Saxon and Tom Kennedy, of course, from You Don't Say, Name That Tune, Primetime Edition, and many, many more. John Saxon, wonderful character actor, co-star of The New Doctors on The Bold Ones in the 70s on NBC. Orson Beans, terrific panelist on game shows, especially to Tell the Truth. And also great comic actor in a variety of different roles. Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley, David Lander, Conchita Farrell, wonderful character actress, also starred in her own comedy for a while, Norman Lear's Hot L Baltimore. Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, wonderful WWE superstar during his day. Robert Conrad, one of the top stars of episodic TV, Hawaiian Eye, of course, The Wild Wild West, and one of my favorite performances, Pappy Boyington, on the very much underrated Baa Baa Black Sheep on NBC. James Lipton, who late in life went from theatrical producer to the host of Inside the Actors Studio on Bravo and later Ovation. Lyle Wagner, the announcer and also at one point TV host of Beat Your Back, of course, the sidekick of Carol Burnett on her long-running variety show. Phyllis George, one of the first women to get into sports television on the NFL Today. Naya Rivera, the Glee co-star who saved her son before she perished in that boating accident earlier this year. Brandon Mahara from Mythbusters, terrific talent in front of the camera. Of course, we spoke terrific talents. Regis Philbin, The host for many years of his own daytime show, both solo and people like Kathy Gifford, Telegraph, etc. And, of course, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Paul Hunning. Hornung, the great NFL and college football player, later great commentator with Lindsey Nelson and others on CBS coverage of the National Football League. Ed Cookie Burns, Cookie Lemon Your Comb, the big hit star on 77 Sunset Strip. Somebody had the chance to be with as an intern on the McNeil Lehrer News Hour, of course, Jim Lehrer, one of the very, very best news people in public television or anywhere. John Carlin, co-star of Kagi and Lacey, before that, Dark Shadows. Bobby Bautista, wonderful anchor and host on CNN and CNN Headline News. Wendell Dallaire, the former White House correspondent, Fox News Channel. Terrific, terrific work. Terry Bishop, the voice of Judge Judy for so many years until his death earlier this year. Ken Osmond, the former co-star, the sly guy, Eddie Haskell, on Leave It to Beaver. Linda Crystal, terrific actress, co-star on The High Chaparral in the late 60s on NBC. Hugh Downs, one of the great every people of television. He could do it all. Newscaster, anchor person on 2020, and the home show, sidekick to Jack Parr, and, of course, game show host on Concentration for over a decade. Mike Sexton, the analyst on the World Poker Tour, available on regional sports networks all over the place. Kevin Dobson, the co-star of both Kojak and later Knox Landing. Joe Morgan, baseball player, great, turned announcing great, with John Miller on ESPN's coverage of Sunday Night Baseball. One of the funniest comedians ever and one of the best, the master of malaprops, Norm Crosby. Tommy Heinsohn, basketball player and coach with the Boston Celtics, later terrific analyst on CBS coverage and regional coverage of the NBA. Abby Dalton, great co-star on Hennessy, later the Joey Bishop Show, mainstay on many game shows as panelist and contestant, and celebrity contestant, and much, much more. David Sheehan, one of the first TV critics in television on the local level with CBS's stations in Los Angeles. And finally, someone who I had the pleasure to interview on this program several years ago, the star of The Virginian, James Drury. What a wonderful talent, the star of still the most successful 90-minute series in television history, ran 9 seasons, was great all the way from start to finish. We had him on here 5-6 years ago. We almost didn't have him because of a technical glitch, but when we did, it was a magical interview with him. And from first to last, a very generous person, one of my favorite interviews on this program. I'm happy to say you can still hear it at blogtalkradio.com/televised. James Drury, a wonderful talent. He will always be the Virginian in everybody's hearts. He passed away this year. Like I said, we had a tremendous wave of talent, both on and off the television screen, who passed away. And we send our condolences to each and every one of their families, their friends, and many, many fans over the years and the decades that they entertained and contributed to this media. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thanks to our guests for being on our next to last episode of 2020. Thanks to all of you for listening. Remember, we'll be back one more time this year, and that'll be on Wednesday. Joining me will be Alon Aranya, who is the executive producer of the critically acclaimed Apple TV Plus drama Tehran and Showtime's miniseries Still Playing, starring Bryan Cranston, Your Honor. Plus, we will have my final thoughts about this year in television, early thoughts about next year in television, and we'll give you our list of the top 5 episodes you like the most here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up an episode you missed, don't forget, you can always go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And all of our episodes in 2020 and previous years are there for you to listen anytime you like, this week and over the transition from 2020 to 2021, this New Year's Eve and New Year's Day weekend. Remember, we always love hearing from you. Oh, by the way, in addition to catching our program there, you can also catch our program on podcast 24/7 at iTunes, at Apple TV, at Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio on their podcast network, Amazon Music on their podcast network as well. And if there's a podcast site that isn't taking our program that you would like to see take it, whether it's Wondery, Google Podcasts, Westwood One Podcast Network, Audible, etc., let them know you'd like to hear our show and let me know who to speak with at those services so we can get on. We are committed the next year to expand our podcast and our simulcast lineup tremendously. And incidentally, if there's a guest, by the way, don't forget also one of the things you want to do this coming year is to be doing primetime specials. So if there's a particular person you'd like to see us interview, let's say for an hour or 90 minutes in prime time, let me know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And we always love hearing from you, what you think about our show, about our guests, and your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. Remember, using that email also gets you involved in our classic trivia question of the week. One more time, here's the question. Name three of the four actors who played the rookies on ABC. First correct answer wins four prizes. I think it's the most we've ever offered in a single week, four prizes. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you include the answer, include your name and mailing address as well so we can get the prize out to you as soon as possible. Remember, you can also follow us on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT and follow us on Facebook at Simon Applebaum. And I want to, by the way, let you know that right now we have 740 followers on Facebook, on Twitter, and more than 1,000, almost 2,000, on Facebook, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Remember, we always love hearing what you have to say. Why? Because now more than ever, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin at BTR, with Andy Toe, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, and Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. And don't forget, if you don't want the one-month trial, that's fine, because Audible has Audible Plus for you, and you can get it anytime you like. Just go to audibletrial.com/tell for all the details. It's $4.95 a month for your first 6 months. And don't forget, if you do want the trial, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can get two audiobooks for the trial of one. Remember, it's all available at audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your day. We will see you and hear you again Monday. See you and hear you again, excuse me, for our final episode of 2020. That's Wednesday. Same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Once again, less than 48 hours from now, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And please, between now and then, be safe, be great. Let's lick this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.